Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment. Love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I have revealed to you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. We continue today with the greatest words that have ever been said. Most important words in the history of the world. We know how important it is always when someone says, "I love you." St. John Paul II says that man cannot exist without love. His life is senseless if he doesn't experience it. So it's important for us to recognize that we're lovable. But beyond it, God himself came into our world to say, as God, "I love you." Jesus began yesterday, "Just as the Father loves me," and we know that the Father couldn't love the Son more perfectly, "so I love you." And he gives our most important commandment: remain in my love. Make the choice to dwell in my love. Don't run away from it. Remain in my love. Let me love you. He says, "You will let me love you. You will remain in my love if you keep my commandments." The commandments, as Jesus says, all the law and the prophets hang on the twofold command of loving God and loving neighbor. And the first way we love God is by letting God love us. The commandments train us how to receive that love and how to give it. If we're not giving it, we're not going to be able to receive it. And so that's why Jesus starts there. And then he talks about the joy that comes from being loved and loving. "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Today he builds on that message by talking about what real love is. Love, we know, isn't a feeling. Our feelings can be involved in love, but love is principally an existential choice. It's a willing of the other's good for the sake of the other. And Jesus describes just what his will is. His willing goes to the utter extreme. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Jesus laid down his life for everyone. And he did so with a prior act. He was one who called us to love our enemies, and he died even for those who had made themselves his enemies. But at the same time, he was laying down his life for friends. We see that even with Judas. When Judas comes to betray Jesus, how did Jesus refer to him? He referred to him as friend. He was a friend of sinners to the very end. Jesus came to make us his friends and to lift us from that love of friendship up to the love that's capable of total self-sacrifice, just like he did with Simon, and we talked about 4 weeks ago. "Simon, son of John, do you love me with total self-sacrificial type of love? Lord, you know that I love you as a friend." He's constantly trying to upgrade us. But he starts with making us his friends. That's the starting point for his being able to love us to the extreme. calls us friends because he's revealed to us everything he's heard from the Father. Later on in the Last Supper, as we're going to hear next week, he'll say, I can't tell you everything because you can't handle it now. So in terms of the quantity of what he reveals, he sends the Holy Spirit to help us over the course of the centuries. But in terms of the big picture, Jesus reveals this big picture right here. I've called you friends because I have revealed to you everything I've heard from my Father. And that's all summarized by God's extraordinary saving love for you, for me, which is personal. St. Paul himself recognized that Jesus died for me and gave his life up for me. And then he comes back to the point with which he's begun this whole part of his discourse during the Last Supper, when we heard 2 days ago the vine and the branches, that our moral communion with the love of the Lord flows from our sacramental ontological communion with the Lord, that he seeks to make us one with him so that his very love can flow through us like branches and vine. He chose us for this. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. That fruit will flow naturally when we're in a communion of love with the Lord, because it overflows into deeds of love. This big picture, God loves us, calls us to remain in that love. And just as the Father loves him, he asks us to love others. To this point of befriending people, even those who make our life difficult, to the point of laying down our life for them. The church exists to train us in receiving this love and reciprocating this love. The first reading, we see what happens in the early church. The real question of the First Council of Jerusalem was about love. St. Paul and with him Barnabas had been preaching the gospel of Jesus' saving love. But then these Judaizing Christians came down and said, no, 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 no. You can't possibly love God. You can't possibly be in a loving covenant with him unless you keep all 613 commandments of the old covenant. Unless you're circumcising. Unless you're following these dietary laws. Unless you're washing your hands in this way. So that's why Paul and Barnabas went up to get some type of definitive answer that everyone could trust after the confusion that had come from those heretics, essentially, planting weeds among the good wheat in Antioch. And so the decision that came from that Council of Jerusalem was all about love. First, love for God. You can't pretend as if you're God if you're going to be able to receive God's love and be able to live in it. So don't eat the meat of strangled animals. Now I know you all see the connection. But the reason why Jews have kosher law is because blood is a sign of life. They would drip all the blood out of animals precisely so that there was no temptation ever that they would think that they are the Lord of life, incapable of killing something, someone, with the blood within. They couldn't. That's God who is the Lord of life and death. And so in order to train them in the love of God, they weren't going to be able to continue the practices of the time in which they were de facto playing the role of God. Second thing was about love of neighbor. Don't eat meat sacrificed to idols, which was very common in the pagan sacrifices. A small portion would be burned, a small portion would give to the pagan priest, and then the rest would be shared in a feast. And that whole feast, it's funny the way human spirituality works and how God responds with the Eucharist. But they would consider that they'd have communion with the gods to whom the sacrifice was given if they ate the food. And so both so that they wouldn't give scandal to anybody as if they were coming into communion with pagan gods. So well as, in a sense, to teach everybody about the Christian difference. They were told, out of love for neighbor, don't eat this meat. And then third, obviously, for their own love, it couldn't be corrupted. It says here, which is a bad translation, about unlawful marriage. The word is porneia, which means all sexual sin. Pornography comes from it. It's writing porneia. Avoid all porneia, because lust corrodes real love. It changes, as John Paul II used to say, the entire intentionality of a human being, from a self-giver to a taker, someone who could actually consume others. So these were the three conditions. They might seem at first a little random, but the early church says that these are the necessary ones, because behind it is this living in love with God, living in love with our neighbor, and then having that self-mastery so that we become, through chastity, capable of laying our lives for God and for others, reciprocating that friendship and initiating that friendship. Just want to focus on one other angle here, because these words are so central. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, gives us a beautiful description of love. Love is patient, love is kind, it's never arrogant or rude, it doesn't put on ears, bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things, never fails. All of those adjectives are able to be predicated of the Lord Jesus. They're also supposed to be predicated of you and me. And the Lord puts us in plenty of circumstances when we're called to practice them. But in each, it's an opportunity for us to lay down our life for others. Which is one of the reasons why I don't mind making you wait a little bit for Mass. Because Mass is worth it. God is worth it. And if we really love God, we would wait until the parousia for Him to come into our life. God's going to give you plenty of things that will try your patience today. It's an opportunity, really, to love the person for whom you're waiting. Likewise, the Lord's going to give you plenty of times to be kind today, when the other doesn't deserve it, even when the other gives you an unkind word. It's an opportunity to lay down your life in kindness. The tender mercy of our Lord, we pray every Benedictus in the morning and morning prayer. God's going to give you plenty of times to be humble rather than arrogant, amiable rather than rude. He's going to give you some stuff that's going to stretch you so that you'll endure all things, never losing hope in Him, etc. Jesus, who calls us to love as He loves, wants us to lay down our life for our friend. That's His greatest commitment. And He is the great trainer of holiness. He's going to give us infinite practice. When I prepare couples for marriage, I give them 12 essays. One of the essays is, what does love mean to you, and what's distinctive about marital love? And over the course of my priesthood, the answers change a little bit here in New York. But over the course of my priesthood, most people will say that love really is a feeling. Fair enough, we start there. But eventually I get them to see what real love is. It's willing of the good of the other for the sake of the other. And how Jesus shows us what that looks like on Calvary. Then I always turn to the guy. And I said, would you lay down your life for her? Would you take a bullet for her? Would you jump on a grenade for her? And what's really impressive over the course of time is even the guys who are really introverted, the guys who might be really thin and not necessarily Golden Gloves champions over the course of their life, their Adam's apple will move and they'll say, I would, Father. And she starts crying. But I said, what if that bullet means that you have to be patient for her when she takes forever in the bathroom? What if that grenade means that you've got to pick up after yourself when you're married because you know she likes to have everything tidy? What if it means right now that you've got to respect the boundaries Jesus sets and really live chastely. We've got to convert this capacity to die out of love for others into the little deeds. And so the same thing works with us. Do you love each other? To be patient with each other? Do you love each other? To be kind to the other, even on the person's worst day. The person's like a lion with splinters in every limb. Never to be arrogant, even when the other's haughty. To endure the sufferings that the other person causes. This is the pattern by which we will remain in the love of the Lord. Receive it even more deeply so that it can overflow out of love for others. And to help us with this, Jesus comes to give his life for us anew each day on the altar as we enter into that one great sacrifice of the Last Supper in Calvary. He says to us from within, just as the Father loves me, I love you. Love one another by the same standard. And that's what the exclamation point is at the end of the words of consecration, when he calls us to do this in his memory, that we will say, this is my body, this is my blood, this is my sweat, these are my calluses, given out of love for you. And the Lord never gives a command without giving himself to help us fulfill it. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Thank you.